my friends, and welcome into another edition of the JMAC Update. So glad that you are here with me today. Please take a minute and subscribe and like and share this video. Also become a patron of this podcast. A one-time donation or a monthly donation will help me continue to bring this information to you on a regular basis. Just go to jmcfarland.com, and that's where you can find out more information. Important news today surrounding COVID, and maybe some lessons learned. Lessons learned way too late, if you ask me. Lessons that were obvious that anybody watching the science instead of the politics and the politicians should have seen coming 100 miles away. This is the governor of the great state of Arkansas now regretting, this is a Republican, now regretting the law that they passed to ban mask mandates in schools. He says, in hindsight, I wish it had not become law. He says, everything has changed now. Yeah. In fact, here's the actual quote for you.
I signed it for those reasons that our cases were at a low point. Everything has changed now. And yes, in hindsight, I wish that had not become law. But it is the law, and the only chance we have is either to amend it or for the courts to say that it has an unconstitutional foundation.
Is this not what so many of us said when states across the country passed laws restricting the ability of school districts and cities to make decisions for themselves in case of an emergency, that for some reason states felt the need to take away this power and this choice from school districts as though they were protecting students somehow? And now, as Arkansas finds themselves with the third highest number of cases, the governor, the Republican governor, is saying, man, I wish we hadn't have done that. And why did he do it? Because case counts were low. What kind of logic is this? What kind of nonsensical logic? Oh, we can pass a ban on face coverings, mandates in schools, because our case counts are low. Basically, COVID's going away, so we can do this. Is that following the science, really? Is that what this is? So now the guy is literally hoping that what they did is unconstitutional so that it can be challenged in the courts, or maybe hope that the legislature will change their minds. Watching Republicans come to these realizations, it's too little, it's too late. If you would have followed the science from the very beginning, you would have never done this. And this is what happens when you fall down the political rabbit hole and it becomes a cult of personality instead of following the science and the truth. Too little, too late. It's very sad. It's very sad to see when so many saw this coming from so, so far away. So there's that. Also, the CDC, I'm sure you heard this, has announced a new eviction ban for most of the U.S. for October 3rd through October 3rd. And I'll tell you, honestly, I'm conflicted with this. I've shared with you that there are millions, I think upwards of 9 million people who are in some type of mortgage forbearance or who should have been evicted already but haven't because of the eviction ban. And this is something that could send us into a housing tailspin. And so I have supported the moratorium or the bans in the past. And now I'm kind of in this middle ground where I'm wondering how long this needs to go. Just like I supported the increase in unemployment payments. And now I'm watching people not going back to work. And I'm wondering what is it that's allowing them to not go back to work? Is it the unemployment payments? Is it the eviction ban that's allowing them to stay put? Is it a combination of both? I have to believe that surely somehow that comes into play. Although I saw a story in the state of Utah where we did not accept the additional dollars for unemployment, and it has not positively impacted people in the state of Utah. Those who are staying home are still staying home. And Utah employers would tell you they're having a heck of a time filling these jobs. So what is it? Is it a combination of all of these things? What's interesting about this ban is that many people feel that it's unconstitutional for the CDC to do this. And President Biden knows it and basically is accepting it. Here's the story. This is from the AP. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued a new eviction moratorium that would last until October 3rd as the Biden administration sought to quell intensifying criticism from progressives that it was allowing vulnerable renters to lose their homes during a pandemic. The ban was announced Tuesday. It could help millions in their homes as the coronavirus Delta variant has spread, and states have been slow to release federal rental aid. It would temporarily halt evictions in counties with substantial and high levels of virus transmission, which would cover areas where 90% of the U.S. population lives. The announcement was a reversal for the Biden administration, which allowed an earlier moratorium to lapse over the weekend after saying a Supreme Court ruling prevented an extension. But it's interesting what Joe Biden is saying about the CDC. He said he pushed the CDC to again consider its options, but he still seemed hesitant as to whether the new moratorium could withstand lawsuits about its constitutionality, saying he has sought the opinions of experts as to whether the Supreme Court would approve the measure. He said, quote, "The bulk of the constitutional scholarship say that it's not likely to pass constitutional muster," end quote. And then he says again, quote, "But there are several key scholars who think that it may, and it's worth the effort," end quote. The president added that the moratorium, even if it gets challenged in court, will probably give some additional time for states and cities to release billions of dollars in federal relief to renters. So he's literally saying, I think this will probably get struck down by the courts, but it will potentially buy some time. Let me know in the comments, and we'll talk about this on JMAC Live on Thursday night at 9:30 Mountain Standard Time. Do you think that this moratorium, that it's time for it to go? And do you think that it's contributing to the fact that employees are not wanting to return to work, resulting in a hiring crisis across the country? Let me know in the comments, and remember, we'll discuss it live on Thursday night. I wanted to share this story with you as well, because once again, we're hearing from pundits and we're Facebook memes and everything else that the virus is being hyped, that the mask mandates from the CDC are part of an evil plan on the part of Joe Biden and other Democrats to somehow gain political power. And one of the things that I keep asking is, why are other countries playing along with this evil plan? Why have they all decided to participate in this plot for political power in the United States? And I, of course, watch all COVID news from all around the globe. And I can tell you that countries across the globe are going backwards because of the Delta variant. They are reinstating mask mandates. They are going back to prior levels of control, just like the CDC recommended. Now, are they doing that because of some global conspiracy that all countries, all world leaders, all epidemiologists, all medical professionals, that they're all part of? Or is this really something to worry about? Well, hotels in Cuba are now becoming hospitals. And actually, Cuba had done a fairly good job of handling the spread of COVID, but now they are backtracking. So this is from ABC News. Instead of tourists, the Hotel Ciego de Avila will hold up to 240 low-risk pediatric patients, officials say, while the Las Canas Motel will have 53 beds for pregnant women with the coronavirus. They also are also ordering isolation of whole households when a virus is detected. Cuba's National Director of Epidemiology, Francisco Duran, who must be working with Fauci and the Democrats in this country and all of the other world leaders, said Wednesday that the province accounted for 23 of the 98 new deaths from COVID-19, the nation's highest death toll yet in the pandemic. The province of some 430,000 people had about twice as many deaths as in the capital of Havana, a city of 2 million. And then here's a key note. Since the start of the pandemic, Cuba has recorded 3,091 deaths and 422,000 confirmed infections, a huge share of them just in recent weeks. The country had been highly successful in keeping the virus at bay last year, but cases began shooting up after a brief period of relaxed controls at the start of 2021. Cuba, in on the grand COVID conspiracy? What do you think? This was some good news that I wanted to share with you. I've shared with you long-haul symptoms. In fact, I had this story that I shared with you last night on JMAC Live that people who have long COVID are experiencing cognitive symptoms. So problems with reasoning, problem solving, spatial planning, and target detection, all part of long COVID, and they don't know how long this is going to last. Well, here's some good news that children don't seem to be experiencing long-haul COVID in large numbers. This is King's College. This is from the BBC. King's College London scientists say that while a small group may experience prolonged illness, they were reassured that the number was low. Headaches and tiredness were the most common symptoms seen. This is a Royal College of Pediatrics and Child Health expert said the data reflected what doctors saw in the clinics. Compared to adults, children are far less at risk of coronavirus. Many who are infected do not develop symptoms, and those that do tend to have mild illness. This peer-reviewed study published in the Lancet Child and Adolescent Health Journal wanted to understand how COVID affected children and how it compared to other respiratory diseases. We still know that children can catch and spread the Delta variant. They just are going to experience reduced symptoms. That doesn't mean they're out of the woods, but it is nice to know that the long-term impact and effect hopefully will be minimal. I also shared this last night on JMAC Live, but I wanted to bring it to you in the update. This is an Ipsos poll that has some good news and some interesting news. You'll see on the left if you're watching. If not, you can come on Facebook or YouTube and see this after the fact, but I'll try and describe it for our podcast listeners. How likely, if at all, are you to get the COVID vaccine? This is from April 2nd to August 2nd. How likely? The number has gone from 47% to 70%. That's awesome. Very or somewhat likely have gone from 24% down to 7%. Not very likely has gone from 19% down to, follow the line, Jay, 6%. And not at all likely has gone from 10% down to 6%. So some good news. Messaging is working. People are changing their opinions, just like the governor of Arkansas, who's changing his tune. But then this question was very interesting. Which of the following people or groups, if any, do you blame for the rising COVID-19 cases and spread of the new variant in the U.S.? So they asked the unvaccinated. They asked all Americans. Then they asked the unvaccinated and they asked the vaccinated. So who did the vaccinated blame for the spread of recent cases? Well, they blamed overwhelmingly the unvaccinated. Then they blamed Donald Trump, and then they blamed conservative media. Then the question was, for the unvaccinated, who did they overwhelmingly blame for the spread of COVID? Well, first is foreigners traveling to the U.S. Second is the mainstream media. And third is Americans traveling internationally. So it's weird. It's like they believe that it actually is contagious and that it's spreading, but they're blaming foreigners. And the mainstream media is COVID, is it infectious over the airwaves? Is that what's going on? I don't know. Try to figure that one out. And then, and now for a completely unrelated story, but one that needs to be shared. This is from KUTV here in Utah. Sheriff saying, stop hanging hammocks from high voltage power lines. You know, this whole hammocking thing has become a new craze. I live across the street from a disc golf course. You know, this is like frisbee golf, disc golf. And people come and they set up their hammocks because there's a lot of great trees for hammocking. And they'll set them up right in the way of the disc golfers, not recognizing that metal thing, that circular thing with the chains hanging down, that's not a decoration. That's for the disc golfers. But they'll set up their hammocks and the discs are flying by. Well, that's not nearly as bad as the problem that is a reoccurring problem, so much so that the Weber County Sheriff's Office has put out a warning to not hammock on power line structures. They said there are 75,000 kilovolts that run through those power lines. It's an extreme danger. Not only the fall risk, but also the electricity. The power can actually jump from the lines and strike somebody. That's from Lieutenant Courtney Ryan. This was a tweet that was sent out. This is from KUTV. If that was you who climbed the high voltage power line tower and strung up your hammock, the sheriff says, don't do it again. And you see pictures there of the hammock. They got up there really high. Ryan added that deputies will be conducting additional patrols on ATVs to make sure people don't trespass on the power infrastructure. People who do climb the towers could get slapped with a ticket. They said the last thing we want is somebody to get hurt, but also damage the infrastructure. That sends power to hundreds of thousands of people. You interrupt that power, then we look at the risk of people not having power. And listen to this. Rocky Mountain Power officials said they advised linemen not to get within 20 feet of an active power line. A photo posted by the Weber County Sheriff's Office showed the person lounging in a hammock within just a few feet of the active conductor on the tower. Yeah. And then this sad note. In 2007, 15-year-old Scott Nye was killed while climbing on a power line tower in Farmington. There is now a memorial at the site with a message to be careful. The memorial reads, on October 12, 2007, we climbed this tower without thinking. We just looked at it as a great way to play or do something fun. We didn't realize it would take away one of us from playing for the rest of this life. We're not saying taking risks and doing risky things is bad, but just think. Will I be able to play tomorrow if I do this? If so, go for it. Because life is super lame if you can't have fun. Main point, please be careful. Needs to be on a t-shirt. Life is super lame if you can't have fun. But then on the back, please be careful. It's amazing that we have to send out these warnings and share these things. Common sense is not so common, my friends. Is it? It is not so common. Hey, please take a minute and take a picture of that flow code that you see on the screen. Become a monthly patron or a one-time patron. One of you donated $25 just the other day. Thank you. That means a lot. So scan that flow code or go to jmcfarland.com and become one of the patrons of this broadcast. That's it for the JMAC update today. Join me tomorrow for another update. Love to see your comments below. And if you want to comment live and get my reaction, be sure to join us on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, where we talk a lot about these same issues and we get your reaction. Thanks again for joining us on this edition of the JMAC Update.